Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our Aiken City Council work session. And it's to talk about the hydrogen truck. And we've had a little delay because of trying to get the slides to come up. But Mr. Ernie Chaput, who's taken the lead on this and working with the ADP organization, is here to, he's going to talk us through a couple of slides, right, Ernie? And anything else you want to say about your work with the hydrogen truck?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's a pleasure to be here and have a chance to talk to you about what we are doing. I'll try to keep my remarks about 5 minutes, if that's okay.
Yes, sir.
And I hope everyone enjoyed the hydrogen truck, and if you want to take another look at it in the future, you want to go for a ride, just, you know, give me a call. I'll be glad to do that, make arrangements for you to drive it if you'd like. The first question is usually, why hydrogen? And there's a couple of reasons of why hydrogen. There's a national reason, a very global reason, and then there's a very local parochial reason. From a national perspective, we need to start preparing for a post-petroleum world. By that I mean the supply of petroleum in the world is limited. There are predictions that within the next 20 years the supply will start decreasing. At the present time, there are about 800 million cars in the world. Just to throw a couple of statistics out, 800 million cars are in the world today. Most people are saying you're going to have between 2 and 2.5 billion cars 20 years from now. And most of that growth is going to take place in places like India and China and Brazil, who are now just establishing their standard of living. And they're put quite a demand on the requirements for petroleum. So at the same time that the supply of petroleum may start going down, the demand is going to be increasing significantly. Secondly, from a national standpoint, we've got an over-reliance on foreign sources of petroleum that affects the nation's energy security, economic security, and national security. There's a concern with petroleum as far as greenhouse gases. It's a hydrocarbon fuel, so it's not as environmentally benign as people would like to have it. And petroleum is considered to be one of the leading candidates for replacing hydrogen is considered to be one of the leading candidates for replacing petroleum over the next 20 years or so. It'll take 20 years at least to do this transition. It took 20, 25 years to go from the horse and buggy to gasoline. It's going to take even longer as you go from petroleum to something else. That's the macro, the global picture. From a local standpoint, we have in our backyard Savannah River National Laboratory, which has 50 years of experience in producing and storing and handling isotopes of hydrogen, specifically tritium. And they did that in support of their national security mission at Savannah River site. But the expertise that they have developed is directly applicable to hydrogen and a future hydrogen economy. And so what we want to do locally is we want to be able to leverage that expertise that currently exists and turn that into private sector jobs and private sector investment in our local region. I'll talk a little bit more about how we plan to do that. And secondly, locally we'd like to get Aiken and the Aiken area recognized not only in the state but within the southeast as kind of a hydrogen friendly, hydrogen knowledgeable environment, economy, where people understand the importance of hydrogen, know what it can do, know what it can't do, and we can react intelligently as we look to the future. I work for the Economic Development Partnership, and as you know, that they do the industrial development in the area. Within the last 10 years, we've also undertaken the idea of supporting the national laboratory and supporting technology transfer. In the hydrogen area, what we want to do is we want to inform leadership and the ordinary and citizens about the need for and benefits of hydrogen. We look for opportunities like this to just sit down and talk to civic leaders, business leaders, people who may be thinking about getting into the hydrogen business, industrialists who see some benefit or maybe hydrogen in their future, about how to maybe get started and get started smartly. I mentioned we want to leverage the Savannah River National Laboratory to recruit hydrogen and fuel cell companies into the area. The Savannah River Lab has expertise in storage. We talked about storage is probably the single limiting factor with regard to the truck that we currently have, and so we see real potential there. We want to conduct demonstrations. We want to have real world applications for hydrogen and hydrogen products in the area. So you and others can get a first-hand sense of how they can fit into this. It's not a mysterious type of a transition. That truck looks like any other truck. If you didn't know it was hydrogen, and if it wasn't painted up and put the fancy wrap on it, it would look like any other truck. And there's many other applications where hydrogen can be a transparent substitute for petroleum. And we need to start doing those things today, so that we can prepare ourselves for the future. The other thing we're doing is working with other in-state institutions to put South Carolina on the hydrogen map. The most noticeable one of those is we've helped sponsor the South Carolina Hydrogen and Fuel Cell Alliance, and it's a group made up of the Savannah River National Lab, the Center for Hydrogen Research, the University of South Carolina, both the Aiken campus and Columbia campus, Clemson University and South Carolina State. And what we've done is in conjunction with the State Department of Commerce, is we've put together a program for what the state can do to help develop hydrogen and to facilitate its reasonable and timely development. The programs that we're doing with EDP are about three or four fold. Number one, the centerpiece is our Center for Hydrogen Research, which is the 60,000 square foot laboratory that we have at the research campus just south of New Ellington. And that laboratory is for use by both Savannah River National Lab folks and by people from academia and the private sector. That's how you get the teaming and people working together to facilitate technology transfer from the laboratory to the private sector. And if we're successful in doing that, those private sector folks will think first of Aiken when they build their new plants and hire their new jobs. That's the prize for us. We're also developing an education, training, and development complex. It's a series of equipment where we're actually putting together all the elements in a hydrogen infrastructure. We have a source of hydrogen, we have hydrogen storage, we have a fuel cell which converts hydrogen into electricity. We have electrical gear so we can make it operate as a backup power unit. We're going to put solar photovoltaics on it so we can make hydrogen from the sun. We're going to put a windmill on it, we can make hydrogen from the wind. We're essentially going to have all the pieces for what a hydrogen economy might look like 50 years from now, except we're going to have it this summer out again at the research campus. And we're going to use that as a development tool, as an education tool, as a demonstration tool, as a research tool, so that people can get familiar with what can happen. Experimenters can come in and say, if I change this or put a new piece of equipment in, what is it due to that system? Aiken Technical College is a major partner in this. We're taking a lot of data. We added a lot of instrumentation to that equipment, so you can see exactly what's going on inside the equipment, what pressures, what flows, what voltages, how much current, what's the humidities in there. And so you can do a lot of training for people, training of who's going to install these, who's going to maintain them. And this is all going to go right back into the Aiken Tech classrooms and become part of their curriculum as they develop and train the generation of folks that are going to be needed to, like I said, install and maintain this equipment. Our vehicle is a demonstration. It's also a research tool. Storage tanks that you see in the back are on a rack. We can take those out when Savannah River, as Savannah River develops better storage, we'll take those tanks out, we'll put the better storage in there, and we can run real live tests on how that works, provide real data back to those researchers. Also, that vehicle allows us to start putting hydrogen refueling infrastructure in place. There's what they call a chicken and the egg. Is you're not going to have hydrogen vehicles if you don't have a place to refuel them. You're not going to get refueling if you don't have a vehicle to use it. So we're trying to jumpstart that and so we have both the vehicle and refueling in place right now. And our hope is that within a couple of years, there'll be multiple refueling stations, multiple applications of hydrogen in the area. I mentioned that we were a founding member of the South Carolina Hydrogen and Fuel Cell Alliance. The other thing we're doing is we're making numerous proposals with industry and with the National Lab commercial firms have research needs and they ask for proposals. We're teaming with the laboratory and others as the government, Department of Energy, National Science Foundation, Department of Defense. Put out proposals. We're teaming with people submitting provide funding to support the research, but also make sure that people understand there's a lot of capability here in South Carolina in the Aiken area that can help solve this problem. That's about it. That's a thumbnail. I apologize that I should have had a hydrogen-powered computer, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, that's coming, right, Ernie? That's coming. I'm sure some of us may have some questions. I'll start by asking the question, which no one has the answer for right now, I don't think, anyway. But in your wildest imagination, how long do you think it's going to be before vehicles, hydrogen-powered vehicles, will be available to the public?
There are demonstration vehicles that are out primarily in the large population states right now, California, New York, Michigan, a little bit in Texas. But those are strictly demonstrations. There are four or five or six. But it's important to note that some of these vehicles, that's about the seventh or eighth generation of a demonstration. Outfits like Toyota and BMW have been working on this for a decade. And they're getting very close to having a perfected system. Honda has said they will have a limited number of hydrogen-fueled vehicles in like 2010, 2011. You can buy today a conversion like we have on an internal combustion engine. The Honda is a fuel cell. But you can get today a conversion of an internal combustion engine. The other application, which is becoming very very important, is in the forklift industry. If you have a factory where you're running forklifts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's an economic case you can make today that says I'm better off buying a fuel cell to run my forklifts rather than buying a battery-powered forklift and three sets of batteries, because it takes three sets of batteries to keep that forklift going. And so there are niche markets like that, which not the automotive one, but in some of the industrial areas where hydrogen products are being very carefully considered today, and in the right situations, they're economic.
So some of them are using them now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've actually run a couple of demonstrations here in the area on mm-hmm. fuel cell forklifts, mm-hmm. and very successful demonstrations.
Right.
Some of our local manufacturers.
Now, I think you said you could go about 200 miles in the truck you've got there. If someone were to say, I want to buy that just like it is, and you were willing to sell it, what would it cost?
Well, that's a tough question because it's handmade. It's a one-of-the-time thing. We paid over $100,000 for that vehicle. But I've talked to the people that did the modifications, and I said basically, you know, if we can get an order for 1,000, what's that going to do to your cost? What's that going to do to the cost of all the piece parts that you have to buy? Mm-hmm. And that number will drop 2/3. So I mean, right. You may end up paying $20,000-$25,000 premium, but not a $100,000 premium.
Right.
Any other questions?
You talked about energy needed to produce the hydrogen, right? And, of course, I've been reading articles that say, you know, more energy needs to produce the hydrogen's going to produce. At least the Wall Street Journal had something to that effect in the last couple of weeks.
There's a couple of different ways to look at that. It depends on where you know, what the source of the energy is.
That's what I wanted to ask.
A lot of hydrogen today is made from natural gas. Now, that cannot sustain itself in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes about 20% of the energy of the natural gas to make the hydrogen. The other part is that hydrogen, when you compare it to electricity, electricity is not a good transportation fuel, so you need to compare it to a transportation fuel like petroleum.
Mm-hmm.
And generally it's felt that you can get the cost of hydrogen down to a range that's competitive with the current prices of gasoline. Now that's the researchers polishing their crystal ball, but at least they have a pathway, and they have enough information they can start making projections like that.
Well, you talked about using wind power, solar power. Mm-hmm. Dare we ask about the use of nuclear power?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think nuclear is for your base load. I mean, solar and wind are intermittent resources.
That's right.
You're going to need to have a reliable base load supply of power to make your hydrogen. Nuclear also has high temperatures associated with it, which are very well suited to certain types of processes for making hydrogen.
Huh.
So there's some high temperature processes for hydrogen which are very efficient that nuclear may be particularly suited for.
Okay.
The amount of petroleum we use today has more energy content than all of the nuclear plants that are in the country today. I mean, it is a very, very large problem that needs to be dealt with, and a large amount of energy needs to be replaced. I forgot to mention one thing. We are starting construction of an addition on the inside of our Center for Hydrogen Research. When we built that facility, we included some extra laboratories and some offices. Those have all been rented now, and now we're building some more laboratories and offices in there. The design's underway. We should be done by this summer. We think we've got a couple more folks that are interested in coming down and setting up camp.
Toyota's working with you, aren't they, Ernie?
Yeah, they've been very successful. They've been very happy working with SRNL. They recently renewed their lease at the Center for Hydrogen Research.
Great. Any other comments? Well, Ernie, thank you so much. Appreciate you being here and bringing the truck.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Thank you for the information, giving us the update that you have. Okay, we'll proceed with our city council meeting at this point on March 24th, 2008. And ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you, and we're glad you're here with us this evening. As we begin a meeting, if you would stand with us for our prayer and a pledge of allegiance.
Dear Lord, we thank you that once again we can come into the chambers and talk about the business of the city. We thank you for our citizens that are here and want to help and help us to understand and to make decisions. We thank you for our staff. We thank you for our council members. And just pray for wisdom and guidance as we go from you, as we go through our agenda tonight. And we want to do those things and make those decisions that are best for our whole community. And we strive to do that. And we just thank you for the opportunities to meet together to talk about the city business and to talk about the important things of the city. And we give you all the honor and glory, Lord, for what will come out of this meeting. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda this evening? If not, do we have a motion and a second to approve the agenda?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second.
Okay. All in favor, show of hands, please. Passes unanimously. The minutes, so the next item, consideration of the minutes of the special meeting of March 3rd and 2008 and the regular meeting of March 10th, 2008, and the special meeting of March 17th, 2008. Do we have any comments on the minutes? And do we have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
We have a second. Okay. All in favor, show of hands, please. Okay, passage unanimously. Under old business, first item, the only item, is appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, we have three appointments before you tonight. They're all with the Arts Commission, and they're all reappointments. We have reappointment of Keisha Lloyd Kennedy, Mary Suber, and Scott Raines, the Arts Commission. Each of their terms would end in 2010. So for your consideration tonight, there's three appointments to this board.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion on the appointments? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item three, new business. The first item is the first reading of an ordinance to amend the zoning.
Could I?
Oh, sorry.
I wanted to. I have an appointment to make.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Didn't ask for appointments.
Well, I was slow to. My appointee to the Housing Authority of the City of Aiken has resigned, and I would like to appoint an architect from the City of Aiken, Martin Buckley, to this Housing Authority. I think he could contribute to the projects that they do. I'll have his information at the next meeting. He lives on Two Notch Road.
Okay. Are there any others?
Yes, I'd like to appoint Robert Kelly from the Crossan Park area to the Community Development Committee.
Okay. And we have.
I think you have his information.
Yeah, we sure do. Okay. All right. Any others? Okay. They will be on the agenda then for next meeting. Under new business, the first item is the first reading of an ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance concerning the expansion of the downtown overlay district. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'll read this by title only. It's an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance to expand and rename the downtown overlay district and to amend and rename the downtown architectural design guidelines. This ordinance was brought before City Council last summer. There were several citizens, I see two of them tonight that are here, that had some concerns about bringing this area into the design guideline preview by the Design Review Board. A lot of that concern was based on the fact that it wasn't just for new structures or for large remodeling of structures, but encompassed several other things. It could have been an out parcel, it could have been a porch. Could have been a room addition, things that many of the citizens felt were minor in nature. The planning staff went back, looked at that, and have given you tonight a ordinance that takes into account the primary areas that you asked us to focus on, which was brand new structures. So if you're building a brand new building within this area, if there was a renovation or change that was equal to 50% or more of the assessed valuation of the property, and this would be not just for residential but be also for commercial or industrial properties within those areas. We sent a letter out to all those that spoke at the last meeting, whether it was at the Planning Commission meeting or the City Council meeting, which amounted to about eight different families. And then we also posted the entire area to let people know that the first reading was coming up again. So before you tonight is the first reading of the ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance to expand the downtown overlay district into the old Aiken overlay district, and upon your consideration, a second reading and public hearing would be held.
Okay, thank you, sir. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this issue? Yes, ma'am, come on up and introduce yourself, please, and tell us where you live.
My name is Terry Lee Young. I live at 1211 South Boundary Avenue, and I was at the last meeting, and I have sent you all a letter. Do you have my letter? I sent it to City. Want to read it. You all have it.
It's attached, dated March 20th.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think I would like, just for the sake of the people here, to say that I feel that the modification of the overlay district ordinances and requirements are acceptable. I think they're reasonable, and they're not overly burdensome for the people who would live in the proposed expansion area. And I do see that the City of Aiken zoning ordinance allows the City Council to designate an overlay district. So as much as I really would rather not be in one, if we're going to be in one, I think that the modifications are very reasonable, and it's what we discussed at our last meeting. And I just want to be sure that, as it is spelled out in the letter that you sent out, that these would go into effect as they stand, and we won't be taken into the overlay district, and then, whoops, well, we have to go back to the original restrictive. I feel it's important to have that said in the public meeting. Will there be a problem that would cause us to have to revert to the original strict kind of all-encompassing
Terry, I read your letter, and I liked your letter very much, except the part where it says, do you guarantee? And I don't think any of us, unless our attorney knows a way that we could guarantee. But, you know,
what I was going to suggest, Mr. Mayor, is all of these people could guarantee you that they're not going to change it, but they can't guarantee you they're going to be here forever.
Yes, I understand that part, but is it on good faith that we are accepting these less stringent, and that this would be just for demolition, new construction? They wouldn't nitpick us about our walkway, the color of our front door. We don't have to get permission to replace our roof and so forth.
Well, I would say, speaking for myself, I would say yes, you know, in good faith, because, you know, we talked about it before, and we listened,
yes,
and we went back, and our staff and all came up with this. And assuming that we all agree to it, you know, that's the best we can do. I hope that shows some good faith.
Okay, if this goes forward, then after tonight, where does it go? Does it go back to planning?
Well, we have a second reading. This is first reading, this is first reading, so it comes up again in 2 weeks.
Okay, and would it contain the same wording that you adopt tonight?
Unless collectively we decide that we need to change a word or two, you know, here.
And that would be decided tonight?
Well,
it has to have a second reading and public hearing before it could be adopted.
Right. But what I'm saying is, when it goes to the second reading,
it'd be the same we're talking about it tonight. Unless we say, gee, let's change this word or that word, then it would be the same. We don't anticipate any changes.
You have to come to the second meeting, Jerry.
I know.
Are you lucky, thing?
I'm not really that familiar with the workings, the readings, and that's why I'm just asking questions, so I will know in my mind where we're headed.
Well, that's good. That's fine.
Okay.
Now, if you go to county meetings, they have third readings. A third reading where it becomes law, and we have the second reading where it becomes law.
Okay. Well, I'm very pleased, and I'm thank you all for listening in the last meeting and adopting these changes.
Yes.
I think they're very reasonable and workable. Thank you.
Thank you.
The one thing I did want to say is,
sure,
I know you mentioned that you had some concerns or would rather not have this at all. On the other hand, what it does, it protects you so that somebody doesn't come into your neighborhood to build a new house or a major new addition and put something in there that you would think would be inappropriate, because you would then be able to have a say before the design review board some objections or opinions that you may have on that addition or on that new home or even on a demolition, where right now you would not. So it goes both ways.
Right. Would anyone else like to speak? Excuse me, Beverly, go ahead.
I was just going to congratulate her and just say how wonderful I think her writing is and how carefully she words everything, and just I really appreciate the way you wrote your letter.
Sure. Yeah.
Diana Crowley, 1202 South Boundary, a neighbor of Terry Lee's. I have two questions today. The first applies to whether or not sheds and garages, how that would be treated, because the 50% major expansion be applied to a shed or a garage where it would exceed 50% of the appraised value of a building. I mean, a roof was well over 50% of the appraised value, or, you know, some additions to a shed or a garage. So if you all could consider that, that would be helpful. And then when Terry Lee was asking, the one thing, Ed Evans' letter said that there would be a first reading, then it would go to the Planning Commission, then it comes back to you all. Now, okay. I don't have any objections, but I was just a little confused.
Is that correct for this okay. issue? Ed, is that correct?
It's already been to the Planning Commission.
Thank you.
Necessary.
Yeah.
To go back to you.
No.
The zoning ordinance says that when you're making amendments to the zoning ordinance, that the Planning Commission has to hold a public hearing and make a recommendation to council. Now, the Planning Commission held a public hearing initially, and you got that recommendation and, you know, decided to do something different, which is what's before you tonight. But maybe it's Gary's call. I mean, it was my understanding it was going back to the Planning Commission, but
I could look at it again after tonight's meeting and see whether I think it needs to go. I had not planned for it to go back to Planning Commission. I thought these changes could be. It's not inappropriate for council's recommend or council's decision to vary from the Planning Commission's recommendation, which is what you're doing.
Which we do.
But I'll look at it again and I'll chat with Ed and see if I think we need to send it back to the Planning Commission first. But, it should be okay.
Yeah, obviously, you make some major changes to what the Planning Commission recommends. You always have that ability to send it back for their review to get their comments, if you'd like.
But we often do not.
You often do not. This is actually taking a look. What they had given you before was more stringent. Mm-hmm. So you're saying we're not going to make it quite as stringent as what it is.
Which is our prerogative.
Which is your prerogative.
We're relaxing the original.
Correct.
Plan from the Planning Commission.
And you know, I don't really feel that City Council is relaxing what they asked for at the beginning of the whole process, which was some means to keep the original fabric of the town from, to keep us from losing the original fabric of the town in neighborhoods, or in this design, in this overlay district. And then when it went to design review and it went to planning, I think in my mind it got a lot more detail than I ever thought it was going to be, but that was their opinion of the way it needed to be. To me, we didn't change what we had asked for at all.
We just changed what they brought to us.
But we did change what they brought to us, you know, so I don't think we're doing an about face on this.
And we've done this a number of times without sending everything back to the Planning Commission. I don't really think they want us to send everything back every time we make some change. But Gary,
if you don't mind, the way it'd suit me to leave it, if it's okay with council,
sure.
Is we won't plan for it to go to the Planning Commission unless I change my mind between now and second reading.
Okay. All right. But, we'll leave it that way then.
Okay.
Attorney's going to think about it some more and look at this situation and see. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we still need to discuss her first question was when with garages and sheds and 50%
and so forth. To add on that.
Okay, I think maybe Roger's talking with Ed about that. I don't.
Ed, we all talking about the garage situation?
On the 50%, the county appraises buildings, and they just, don't they put one value for the value of all improvements on a particular lot? Isn't that how we're going to do the appraised values?
Well, I think the county breaks it down by land and buildings.
They have one number for land, and then they have another number for improvements to the land or structures on the property.
Right.
But they don't break down the various structures.
I don't think so.
So if you had a house and you had a detached garage with an apartment on it, all you're going to see is one building on the lot, so you're going to see one value. And so I think that would err towards the side that, you know, you're not going to. The building value would be higher to get that 50% that you're talking about.
Okay,
that's why. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that just because a garage isn't worth as much as a house, that we'd be looking at 50% of the value of the garage. Yeah.
Also, the interpretation is sheds or garages would not apply. So that would not be part of that design review. If somebody was going to build a shed or a garage separate from the house.
I just have one question. That is that some of the property in this district, I'm not sure, have we just sort of spot checked on assessed value? Because we're talking assessed value, are we not?
That is correct, yes.
And are most of those properties assessed high enough so that putting a roof on does not equal 50% of the value?
It's actually the appraised value, not the assessed value. And no, we did not do any spot check.
Okay. But it doesn't say appraised, it just says value. But that's your intent?
No, it says 50% of the appraised value, the bold.
Okay. The cover letter just says 50% of the value. Sorry.
Yeah, the cover letter, right. That's, but Ed, you're looking at the
actual ordinance, yes. Zoning right. Change.
But if someone were to build a garage apartment where a single car garage would have been,
that gets to be a little bit different.
That's a different thing from a garage or a shed.
Right.
Okay.
And understand that the basis, not to get more confusing or looking at this, but the intent that council had at one time was to take the entire old grid of Aiken and to apply this ordinance to the entire old grid. So we did the downtown, we're going to the east, and we'll be coming back to the northeast, we'll go back to the northwest area. And so the basis of what you see here is what we'll be applying to these other areas. So your questions are good because, you know, you're bringing up other issues that may come up at a later date.
Okay, is there still any question about the appraised value, that issue? Do we need, and how the county does it? Okay. Okay, does that, is, yes. Would you come back up here, please?
And the appraised value is almost always higher than the assessed value.
Right, right.
Just one last question. What about demolition? Does demolition going to apply? I happen to be asking personally, so I hate to put you on.
No, that's okay.
What about demolition of sheds and garages and rebuilding?
Did we get the question, everybody?
We have in Ed Evans' letter, which was a very nice letter, the word demolition.
Mm-hmm.
It just says demolition. So now I'm curious if it's demolition of sheds and
demolition.
Garages, would it apply to that? Or are we just talking about houses?
Or all demolitions. That's what you're talking about, all demolitions here.
Are you getting ready to blow up a garage?
Well, a number of us have these falling down garages and sheds. And a neighbor brought it up, and we looked at, you know, this whole kind of houses that all corner each other, and we looked at our miserable sheds, you know, and then garages. They don't have apartments, but, you know, they're looking pretty weak. And we weren't sure if demolition, the way it reads, means demolition and then rebuilding, demolition. So I don't want it to drag us through it. But.
It's hard to... No, but you've got some great questions.
You really do.
You guess garages and sheds, eh?
You want to answer that?
Excluded.
If you look at 5.3.2B, on the draft.
Says it.
5.3.2B, which is the part that deals with land zoned other than downtown business.
So the detached
right here.
Okay.
Different one.
Yeah. And number three, and these are this list of things that are that would require approval or require a certificate. The demolition of a building, any portion of which is occupied by a non-residential use. And my thinking there was non-residential use would be a commercial or industrial use, not a shed or a garage. So, I mean, the way I interpret it, the way it's written now, the demolition of a shed or garage would not require approval. That's up to you how you want it, but...
Could we add that interpretation
so
it's very clear? Just that little phrase does not include shed or garage.
Okay.
If that's your intent.
I think for future references, we may need to go ahead and put that in writing so that the next body won't misinterpret what the intent is tonight.
If you could make that change, we'll include that in the second reading then, Ed.
All right.
I think it's somewhat clear here, but it would be nicer to be a little more clear.
It would be better.
Okay, so it doesn't include. Okay. Now, does that answer questions? Okay, good, good. Anyone else want to speak on this subject? Okay.
Just so I can understand, did we decide if this is going back to planning or directly to second reading?
Mr. Smith, most likely it is not going to go back to the Planning Commission.
Okay. Thank you.
Which means the second reading would be on April the 14th, the next time we come before council.
Now, if by chance, however, that it does go back to the planning, then you will be notified.
And that's a guarantee.
So you won't show up and it's not on the agenda. Or you don't stay at home and miss it when it's on the agenda, whatever. Okay, back to City Council. Do we have a motion and second?
I just have one little question I want to ask, and I'm sure you've answered it before, but answer it again for me. If you look at the drawing of the map outlining the district, on Buford Street there's a little swatch cut out of there that looks like it's avoiding something on the corner of Buford and Park. Right past Orangeburg, and then there's Buford Street.
Corner of Buford and Barnwell?
Buford and Barnwell. Come up from Park, and you see where it dips down back toward...
that notch.
It dips down and then comes back up?
Yes. What is that that's...
The reason for that is that we included... Excuse me. Included the lots that front on Richland Avenue. And in the block between Orangeburg and Marlboro, those lots go all the way through from Richland to Barnwell.
They go all the way through?
Yeah, those 600-foot-long lots, basically. So that's why all of that is included. But where you're talking about,
The lot
does not go all the way through, so it's cut off at that lot line. It's only the portion of the lot that fronts on Richland Avenue.
Oh, so the back part is not included.
That's a separate lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that portion will come back to you at a later day, because we'll be covering the northeast section of the city and then the northwest section.
Okay.
Okay, do we have a motion and a second?
I so move, Mr. Mayor, that we approve this one first reading with the second reading to be held at our next regularly scheduled City Council meeting.
All right, and we're adding that part about...
With the addition of the clarification on the garage and...
Sheds.
Sheds.
Okay, all right, so we've got a Motion and second. Who seconded? Do we have a second? Jane seconded, okay. Any further discussion? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay, passes unanimously. Okay. Item two is approval of the Accommodation Tax Committee recommendations. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. This was a difficult year in that we had nearly $500,000 in request and only a little over $225,000 that was available. Last year, conversely, it was $250,000 in request. Now, if we had the same amount of requests as we did last year, we probably wouldn't be sitting here talking about the difficulty. But the request almost doubled in size. They will be giving a report shortly, but they looked at it in two different ways and said, first of all, we'll fund 13 of the events. Of those 13, nine of them, we'd like to fund it 75%, and then the other four, they looked at separately to see how much each one, because these were the large ticket ones that four of them were requesting over $270,000. So each one was looked at then separately to determine mainly on how many people they thought would bring in people that would be spending the night and therefore adding more funding back in. I know there is some concern on some people's part that were disappointed that they didn't get more money, but again, we had more money to give, but just a whole lot more in request. You do have in front of you tonight, that was just given to you, a letter from Polo America, and I know they would like to speak concerning this. This is the event that was right off of Buford Street in 302 with the hot air balloons that included horse and equine events at that particular show. So for your consideration tonight, this is the approval of the accommodation tax request as presented by the tax committee for fiscal year 08-09. I know Sam Erb's here, and there's Joni out there, and I'm not too sure if you have any other committee members here tonight.
Okay. Thank you, Roger. Sam, would you like to, as chair, would you like to say anything?
Well, yes, sir.
I mean, if you'd like to.
Sam Erb, 1556 Dibble Road. Like Roger said, it would have been nice to fund everybody. One thing we were up against is when you do look at all these requests, it makes you look harder in each one to actually do what the money is supposed to do, is put more heads on beds. So it was a difficult year. I am here. If you do have any questions now, I could just say a few things, like the Aiken Polo. We took out their program or book. The only reason for that is they sell ads and they sell that book. The book is a great book. I'm in it. I, you know, have it at my restaurant too. But when we were at that point with that amount of requests to what kind of money we had, these are the kind of decisions that we had to make. So, are there any questions from council now?
Could you tell us what the top three, did the top three get funded last year, and if so, at what level?
Let's see. The top three in order, Jane?
On the set, the where it says amount requested, amount recommended,
oh.
Zero.
Okay.
Ford Trucks Equestrian, no. The tourism brochures and downtown map, I believe that was for our kiosks, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right, Glenn? Here comes my helper right here. The garden.
It's probably here.
Yeah, the garden club in 05 and 06 got $7,743. The Ford trucks and the equestrian did not, and the tourism brochures and downtown map did not. They weren't requested.
Uh,
I just have a general question, somewhat unrelated. How often during the year, I suspect I know the answer, but how often during the year do you meet?
It depends. If we have a real easy year, like we did a number of years ago, we're supposed to meet once.
Okay.
We do have a lot of special requests that brings us back together, and a lot of times that's why we keep the contingency fund. The council likes to keep at least $5,000 in contingency.
Reason for the question, I noticed you barely had a quorum. There were three people that out of seven appointed by the council, and only four able to attend what has to be your big meeting of the year. It's
right.
It's disconcerting. I don't know whether we have any kind of mechanism to look at that, to see whether or not we should.
They were in contact. There were some out of town, some at other meetings and work.
Okay.
I do left town.
Okay. And the other question with regard to the Polo, and I guess we're going to hear from them, and having been on their side, and I was very grateful for the money the accommodations tax committee gave to the Highland Games. It was essential, quite frankly, for us. But and I know it's a tough decision, but is there a rationale why one gets the money and one doesn't? In fact, are you able to discern whether or not Polo would, in fact, bring people in from out of town?
Which Polo event are you talking about?
The Polo America, the item number two, I think, on your list, which...
Right, the Balloon Festival.
Ford Trucks Equestrian, they call it Polo America, but it isn't, yeah.
Festival.
The Balloon Festival. I mean...
We discussed that at length. What we actually came up with, participants stayed at some hotel rooms, but mainly it was no heads on beds. It was just day watchers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's very important. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Sam, that gets back to a question, too, I was going to ask. Are you getting... As years go by and you update the requirements...
One thing I was going to mention, Mr. Dewar, let you know, is one thing you don't see is each of these groups, when they submit their application, they have to tell us, they actually have to do a survey if they've been awarded money in the past, who's at their event, where they're from, and that helps educate the committee on the heads on beds issue. So there's a lot more information that the committee has.
Okay.
I'm sorry, not that clear.
Thank you.
One of the other reasons on the Ford trucks is because of the word Ford, the name, recognition.
Okay, good
probably.
Point.
I think there was a lot of discussion about that. So. Big bucks,
Sam,
it was a great festival. All these are great events. You have to make a decision somewhere down the line.
Yeah. Getting back to what Glenn just answered about heads on beds and all, are you getting a better feel as years go by, because you've been on this committee and some of you for a while, of really how accurate that is? I mean, it can only be so accurate, I guess.
It is so accurate. We request the surveys, and, we do go by them, and some are, fill up the hotels extremely. Just for instance, the City of Aiken softball tournaments, baseball tournaments, you can't get a hotel room from Columbia to Augusta. It's those kind of events that really. We have seen increases from the years. When we first started this, it was a little gray, and we've come a long way with decision making and what makes it easier and so forth, so on. And the monies have increased, so somebody's doing the job.
Right. Is there a way you check with hotels, motels?
Well, we asked that question to the hoteliers on the board, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think Lisa does some homework with that. Lisa really has made this a lot easier on us, Lisa and Glenn, to make have the information in front of us. Yeah. There's no doubt.
Yeah, yeah. I recognize it's not perfect. There's no way you're going to get it.
I wish we had a perfect formula.
Definitely.
It'd be a lot easier.
Have any heads on beds?
Right.
But,
Give us more money.
Well, now last year we had some more money. What do we get more? I mean, if we see that we're going to get more money, then we
less
do.
Requests. If you remember last year after our meeting, we were able to fund everybody, but then the Polo events came in at a special request.
All right, and we had some left, so that's what we used.
Well, you had some that wasn't spent from the time period before that, then your contingent fund. You know, we can award money. Y'all can okay this monies, but then they might not spend it all. So it's still in the coffers, and then,
I see.
You know, it's still there. You know, if they can't use it, and if they don't have the receipts to get that money, then that money becomes available.
Well, what is the tourism agency that costs costs 30% of it? Is that our tourism office of the city, or is that? Well, that's 30% of whatever money we have? Well, don't you need a flat figure on that? I mean,
no. Yeah.
Let me try this.
Thank you.
The way we get down to the number of the 225 that we have to spend is we have to, about 3 years ago we switched this, we have to estimate what we think we're going to get in. And then by state law, $25,000 comes off the top, that goes to the general fund of the budget, then 5% of the balance goes to the general fund, then the 30% comes to the tourism office, as you termed it. So we have to, again, estimate that amount. Then the balance is what 65%. The committee has to allocate.
Let me ask you, does state law require that we spend the 30% on the tourism agency?
Ma'am.
That's
ma'am.
A requirement.
Yes, ma'am.
Do we get $66,000 worth of tourism out of it, do you think?
Oh, I think absolutely.
Good. Yeah. That's what I'm wondering.
One of the things we have been doing in the last couple of years, we take that money and we apply to the state for a grant, and many times they'll double it.
So then we have more money for this fund or more money for?
Money that the city could then use for advertising.
The city would use for, not these particular events.
That's correct.
Okay, are there any other questions? Or anyone in the audience would like to talk about this? Comment, okay.
By the way, Sam does a wonderful job. Yes, it's a hard meeting with a lot of figures, and he keeps it running rather well.
Yeah. Very, very good, Jenny. Thank you.
Lori Chad, 922 State Park Road. I'm affiliated with Polo America, the group that puts on the Ford Trucks Red, White, and Blue Hot Air Balloon Festivals here and in Indio, California, and in Las Vegas, Nevada. You've got a letter that I presented to everyone on the council from Randy Russell, the president of Polo America. It says, "Dear Mayor and City Council members, I am sorry that I am not able to appear before you in person. My company is producing the Ford Trucks Equestrian America Balloon Festival, a benefit for the families of our servicemen and women for the Fort Gordon Army Base. I recently applied for ATAX funding to help grow the 2008 event. I was surprised to find out that we had been turned down for any ATAX dollars, especially with the results that we had in 2007. The 2007 Equestrian America Balloon Festival drew incredible crowds. Last September, we rented the 60-acre Highfield Showgrounds. 14 acres were allocated for the event, and the remaining 46 acres were used for parking. On Saturday night, the crowd was so large, we ran out of parking and had to park cars on Buford and on Richland Avenue. To guarantee this would not be a problem for 2008, we have rented the polo fields on Powderhouse Road and the Steeplechase grounds for parking. Any event that features hot air balloons is an incredible draw and brings huge crowds into a community. I can state dozens of cities that realize the economic impact of sponsoring hot air balloon festivals. The following is a small sampling of cities that have become sponsors of the following balloon events. Statesville, North Carolina. National Balloon Rally, attendance 80,000. Decatur, Alabama, Alabama Jubilee Hot Air Balloon Classic, attendance 75,000. Anderson, South Carolina, Freedom Weekend Aloft, attendance 150,000. Greenville, Mississippi, Delta Air and Balloon Festival, attendance 80,000. Louisville, Kentucky, the Bluegrass Balloon Festival, attendance 130,000. The promoter of the Bluegrass Balloon Festival states that 25,000 people outside of the city of Louisville attended the event and are responsible for at least $1.3 million spent in the community during the event. Our first year attendance was estimated at 18,000 people over the 2 days. This was accomplished by targeting our advertising budget to the local community. In 2008, we have doubled our advertising budget, with 75% reaching outside a 50-mile radius of Aiken. Several months ago, I met with Roger LeDuc and Glenn Parker to discuss the 2008 Ford Trucks Equestrian America Balloon event. In our discussion, we talked about the success of the 2007 event and ways that I could make this event grow. I am happy to add items such as fireworks, balloons to do tethered balloon rides, move to a larger facility, etc. But I stated to do these things, I would need support from the city. It was at their suggestion I apply for ATAX dollars. If the city of Aiken would like to see the event grow to the attendance levels of the above-mentioned hot air balloon festivals, I would respectfully suggest that you revisit the ATAX application to support this event. Lastly, I am not an out-of-town promoter. I am a property owner in Aiken, and I plan to live here within the next year. Thank you for your time. Best regards, Randy Russell, President of Polo America. I've also included in this one of the first press releases that have gone out just to explain a few of the events that will be going on during our 2008 event in September.
Well, thank you very much. I'd like to ask Glenn or Sam again about the policy, the rules, the state law for the use of this money. Heads on beds?
Heads on beds has to be advertised out of a 50-mile radius, outside the 50-mile radius,
all right,
to create heads on beds. Just, you have to fill up hotel rooms.
And how many heads on beds?
Well, because they have not had, you know, no accommodations tax, they weren't asked to do the survey. You know, information for that, you know, that we had was nil. I mean, like I say, it's a great event.
Yeah.
But do people come here, spend the night, and go out and watch the balloons in the morning? You know, that's the big question.
As I understand in reading this, it's primarily, well, maybe not primarily, but it's for the benefit of families of our servicemen and women from Fort Gordon Army Base.
Saturday morning last year, we watched them come over this way. It was wonderful. I had my dad out. He was all excited about it. The next Sunday morning, we went. And, of course, they had to go with the wind, and they were going that way. And, you know, and the wind started going up, and they couldn't get the big dragon up. And nothing. I mean, that just happens, you know. I'm just telling you that the event is live.
With all due respect, and I was out of town, so I didn't see it last year. I read the articles, and I understand how wonderful it could be to watch and all that. But it seems like to me that the organizations have an obligation to somehow tell you how many people are staying overnight, because that's part of the rules of the game. Right?
State rule.
And you all try very hard to understand what that is on all these other organizations, and you have for years.
Just to let council know, fortunately, Demita is her name, Demita Jeter in Columbia, that you know, that oversees the committee that oversees your decision tonight. We send this stuff to her. Mm-hmm. Ahead of time, and just, you know, if you see something wrong, let us know. And Aiken is used as an example on proper usage of the accommodations tax. And, you know, if you get fined or if you do the wrong thing, that money has to go back.
And I've seen the forms, and you and I have talked about a form or two over the years, and I somewhat understand the form. And so that's my big hang-up, I guess, really. It gets down to the basic there of how many people are staying overnight.
One of the decisions on the garden show is just, you know, it's a great event, but people don't come here and spend the night to go to the garden show.
I guess my question is, if this is your first time applying, you wouldn't have the data. You have to apply, get a grant, and then do the survey to at least get the data.
You know, I'll be quite frank with you. If we didn't have so much money requested and we had some leeway there, they would have gotten some money, not all of it. They would have gotten some. That's what we've done in the past. But in order to do what we had to do, we had to start eliminating in order to come up with a formula
to come up with what we came up with this year. If that explains.
Yeah, I would just have one other comment, and that is, do you have a roadmap for what you need to do to apply next year if you intend to put this function on in Aiken?
That information would have to come from Randy Russell, the president, and he'll be in direct contact with Rogers.
Yeah, I talked to Randy today, and one thought that council may have, you did this in the past last year with the Triple Crown of Polo, and near the end of the season, this would have been late summer, they and the 302, and I'm not too sure, yeah, they still call themselves the 302 Polo Club, were vying for some dollars. And what council said, because not all the dollars that are used that are allocated, in other words, an organization may get an allocation of $20,000, but they only spend $15,000. And they don't get reimbursed until they turn the receipts in, and then a check is written. If you would like, and you feel like the Polo America or the American Balloon Festival should at least get some dollars, because it's the first time they applied, if you want to designate in your approval process that any funds that are left over so that at the end of the summer they could be applied towards them, we could do that. We're also estimating how much money we're going to get in during the year. We get checks in quarterly from the state. And so we're trying to estimate during the year, okay, how much we're going to get in this quarter, how much we're going to get in this quarter based on history. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty consistent. But you know, we may be off a little bit here and there. You'll also see that we included in our funds this year that we did have some interest money. So again, if council would, wants to go ahead and allocate some money, but we don't know how much, you could just say that any funding that's left over at the end of the near the end of the summer, we could go ahead and apply it directly towards them.
I would want to ask one other question before I'd want to commit to that, and that is that there's a premise here that this benefits military families from Fort Gordon. Can you give us a sense of how that happens?
All of the donations, that the admission is free for the event. And
for military?
No.
For everybody?
Every person. We advertise it as admission is free with a donation to the military families. We have people from the MWR division over at Fort Gordon that come over, and they collect all of the admissions, and we don't touch it at all. Everything goes directly to them, to their military programs, to help pay hospital bills, pay extra things that are not covered for the military families that have
true
support.
Okay, thank you.
So, look, could I just ask again then? So something that's never happened before, if they don't have, I mean, something doesn't have to happen for a year before you all can consider it.
No.
Okay.
What we could do in this case, with the potential of there being some money, you know, some unexpended money, we could go ahead and give them the survey so that if their event comes about, then they could go ahead and do the survey, and that way they could bring that information back to us if we do have some available money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would support that.
I'm sure council knows, just for clarification and your own knowledge, the money has to be spent in the receipt in hand prior to getting accommodations tax.
I know that personally. We did not spend all the money for the Highland Games, and we didn't get a full reimbursement, but we had the opportunity. So it's a well-run program. Lisa does a great job, and as a novice last year, she talked me through the process. So
they do a good job. I want to ask Lori a question. Your company, your organization that you're a part of, has these other places as well?
No, sir. Those are just other events that Randy was stating, the attendance level.
Okay.
We do an event in January every year in Indio, California, which is in the Palm Springs area. And that is a three-day festival, and it benefits the 29 Palm Springs base. And then we talk about, we go to Las Vegas, and we do just a balloon event there because there's no polos in Las Vegas. So, that benefits the Nellis Air Force Base there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So right as of now, we've got the three events. We've got California, Las Vegas, and Aiken. And the reason that Randy has chose to do them in Aiken, because I've moved here from California. Randy's moved, is going to move here. He's already bought property here and will be moving here permanently within the next year.
Good.
So that's why, yeah, you know, we targeted coming here and bringing something different besides, you know, all the great horse events that we've got. We might as well add something new to the mix.
The reason I ask, I just wondered if any of these other places would give you any idea of what Aiken might be. In other words, do you have the same requirements that you have to fulfill application for these other two cities? Or
I can ask Randy. Randy, okay, is the president of Polo America. He owns the company. I'm his operations manager on the ground.
Oh, okay.
So Randy handles all of the logistics of dealing with all of the sponsors in the cities and all the money.
Well, you don't have to bother with that. I think we've got a plan here. If everybody agrees with the plan, to go ahead and give the application as you stated, Glenn. And then if there is some money left over, we can decide how much to.
I would like to say for the record that by any means we are not discouraging you from having this event here. It's a very difficult decision. And the line has to get cut somewhere, and you just happen to fall in that line. But, yeah, we would, you know, if there are monies available, we'd be glad to meet again and make it happen. We did it last year.
Okay. Are there any other questions, comments about anything else on this issue? Anybody else want to speak? Okay, well, it's back to City Council then to make a decision here. And do we have a motion in a second?
Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to clarify that, you know, I'd also would like for them to fill out the report and turn that in to the ATAX committee, something that they could gather information from this year's event so that they would potentially have that for next year as well, before we made the decision to go ahead, or before the ATAX committee could make the decision to go ahead and release some of the unused funds.
Okay, do you want to see that application, or do you just want
to
commit?
I don't think we need to see it.
Yeah.
I would like for them to submit that to the ATAX committee.
You're talking about the survey?
Yes.
Survey.
Yeah. Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Incorporating that in the motion, or?
Are you asking that the survey, they don't get any money then until they have their event and they do the survey?
Well, I mean, you could, if there's some that's just there and available, but before we fund this thing at half of what they're asking for, I would like to see, before any substantial monies is given, I would like to see some information, some feedback coming
from. All right, let's make sure we understand about the survey. The survey comes after the event?
Yes. Correct.
Okay.
Yes. Well, survey comes after the event, but also the monies, they have to have the receipts in hand. So a lot of that, I would think, would come after the event as well. I understand they don't know how much money they're going to get from the city.
Right.
But, you know, a certain portion of that, I wouldn't mind saying, well, if they need $5,000, let's give them that. But before we commit to $12,000 or $18,000.
The survey is done at the event. It's done of the customers at the event.
Yes.
The use of this money, since it's primarily for marketing, is done months prior to. So by, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, by the event, you know how much you spent on marketing. So and because your event's August.
September.
We will know the end of this current year. If there's any money left over in this current year, we won't know a lot of what we're proving tonight if there's going to be any of this money left over at that point, because this is, we're approving 08-09 money tonight, and we'll just be into that. We won't even be through the first quarter yet. We may only have one draw from the state at that point.
That's correct. But what we're talking about is the funds that are going to be left over from last year.
Correct.
Correct. Current year.
This current year.
Current year.
Funds that are not used.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And all I'm saying is I don't mind you know, the ATAX committee saying, you know, $2,500, $4,000, but before the ATAX committee just says, okay, this is, a, as far as we're concerned, a first-time event because we have no data, and giving someone $15,000 to promote an item, I think you need something to substantiate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I would agree. I think
we had set an amount or agreed on anything yet. We look at the data and then...
But yeah. Wouldn't we just do the same thing we always do? They'd give us a recommendation, we'd go on that.
Correct.
Yeah, I think we need to follow the process, and that is the only thing that we need to do extraordinarily is to give them a survey so they know that they need to do the survey. And once they do the survey, that goes back to the Accommodations Tax Committee for consideration of whatever funding is available.
I agree. Totally.
So they have to follow the same rules as everybody else that got money.
Yeah, you know, if there's money left over.
If there's money left over,
assuming
yes.
There is, and there usually is some money left over, the accommodation tax can meet late July or August and come back to you at one of those meetings to say, hey, we have $5,000 left over, we'd like to award it to this particular event, or there might even be another event that comes up at that time. If any surveys are done, those surveys really won't apply this year. They would have to be used for the 2009-2010 money that would be available. It would actually be this time next year.
Yes.
From any of those surveys. So any money that would be awarded to them would be awarded without the surveys probably in mid to late summer.
And they could only be reimbursed for advertising expenses beyond the metropolitan Aiken area.
50-mile radius or in the Augusta type area.
I just want to ask one more question for clarification for me, and that is that when this was brought to your attention and the application was completed and turned in, and you discussed it with the person on the committee who runs hotels and knows how these things impact their stays, did they have any feel for how this did last year as far as heads on beds? Was there any comment made about whether it...
There were some participants, trucks, and balloon-type things in the parking lot, but just participants is the way we heard. All the balloon people itself.
But because it was marketed just to people in Aiken, there were no additional heads on beds, right?
I believe it was also during Aiken's Making the Weekend.
Yeah, it's the same weekend.
So it would have been really tough.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had a brand new event ask for $25,000. I will say that much,
you know,
and there was a lot of requests.
Right. I guess my point is that a new event has to start somewhere, and in order for them to get tourists in, they're going to have to advertise out of town. But I guess the fact of the matter is that you don't get reimbursed until after you've spent the money anyway. And so I think we do need to kind of wait and see how it goes. But I'm pulling for you.
Well, it boils down to there's no assurance that you'll have any money this year, but there's a likelihood that you'll have some.
I mean, thank you.
And then you'll be set to come back next year. Now, y'all do some advertising outside of the area.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
You've got your own budget for that. So.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, I'm going to move that we approve the recommendations of the ATAX committee with consideration for amending this or for them looking at additional projects as we can afford them a little later on when the money's come in or when unused funds are available.
Okay, I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other discussion? If not, show hands, please, all in favor.
Okay, passes unanimously. Very good. Thank you very much. Item 3, under new business, approval of the Planning Commission action agenda. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We met a week ago with the Planning Commission and jointly came up with an action agenda for the upcoming year. These 7 items are before you tonight. As we discussed at that meeting, the primary item is going to be the comprehensive plan review. That's going to take several months to complete. It's the 5-year plan update. And then the other items, we feel there's a good chance that we will be able to complete most, if not all, of those during this next fiscal year. So for your consideration tonight, this is the approval of the action agenda for the Planning Commission for fiscal year 2008-2009.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
I so move, Mr. Mayor, that we approve the action agenda for the Planning Commission.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second. Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Good. Okay. Under petitions and requests, we have a request for signs for the Aiken Farm Fest. Mr. LeDuc.
Yes, sir. You have a letter here before you from the Aiken Farm Fest, which is going to be held on March 28th and 29th. That's this weekend coming up. And they would like to go ahead and put signage out on the highway at various locations. I have listed approximate locations where they'd like to put the signage to direct people off of Whiskey Road at Chime Bell Church Road, where the event will actually take place. If you feel comfortable in doing this, you may want to consider in your motion that in the future the planning director would be able to review this and to make this approval. Otherwise, again, if you decide you want to go forward with this approval, they have to come before City Council every year. But in Section 4 of the ordinance, does give the planning director that ability to do so, and you have done that in several other events in the past. So before you tonight is consideration to place directional signs, the Aiken Farm Fest, scheduled for March 28th and 29th of this month.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Now, these signs are about the size of a political sign, maybe, 24 by 18.
Yes.
Yeah.
2 by
just
one
stuck
and
in
a half.
The ground.
Yes.
On the metal wires.
It's Aiken Farm Fest with the arrow pointing
yes.
in the proper direction.
How many will there be? Roger, do you
I
know?
Think I counted there would be about 13 inside the city, and then they have about a dozen more outside the city, bringing them from I-20 all the way down to where this event would be held.
Just a question. Did they need permission to do this?
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll take them down, put them up the day before, take them down the next.
They said that they'll have them up a couple of days beforehand and then take them down the day after the event's
Thanks.
Over.
Okay.
No. I'd have said the 24th to the 30th.
Well, today's the 24th, so I told them they certainly would not be able to get them up.
28. Okay. But they're going to be up till the 30th.
And 29.
They have some vendors and some people that are going to be displaying the equipment. That's why they want them up a few days even beforehand to get them down to that location. We're all used to getting through Aiken. For people outside of Aiken, it's mm-hmm. not the easiest to get down to that location.
Yeah. I'd like to move if it's you didn't ask for it yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have a motion and a second.
Okay. I so move that we approve this request.
Second.
Okay, we have a second. Any other discussion?
Are you going to include in that would you like the planning director to have that approval process in the future, or do you want this to come back? Because this is the fourth one. I'm sure they're going to have a fifth one.
I would say yes. And then if we don't like what he does the next time, we can do something about it. Is that okay with your motion?
I'll accept that addition.
Okay. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Okay, that's the end of our agenda.
I just have one question, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Did we have any extraordinary damage from the storm?
There was several dozen trees that have been reported down in various areas. It's very spotty. You know, it jumped from one area to another area. Some areas there were, like where Richard Pierce lived, he had a half dozen trees down just in his little cul-de-sac. You saw in the paper about the golf course having around 20 trees down. So then there were other areas that weren't hit at all. Just one thing, I did have the issues and updates. Some of you wanted to meet with Reggie Barner and the Housing Authority to get a little bit more information, understanding how their organization operates. Based on the consensus I have from those that have gotten back to me, it'll be next Monday night, the 31st at 5 o'clock. So those that would like to attend, I'll send an email out to you all to remind you. But right now, it'll be next Monday, the 31st at 5 o'clock. Ivory Matthews will be there, and Reggie Barner.
Okay.
In this room?
If there's nothing else, we stand adjourned.
Let it be said that this is a record for 6 years on council.
I thought
James ran it even faster.
This is the way.